Hi, welcome to the Feng Shui Your Life podcast. I'm your host, Tisha Morris. Join me in this beautiful space where spirituality meets design. From informative Feng Shui tips to inspiring design ideas to mind-blowing cosmic concepts. It's all here. Stay tuned.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. This is Tisha Morris, your host with the Feng Shui Your Life podcast. I am so excited to have my guest, Beth Davis, today. She is known as the Palm Pilot for the Soul of Your Business and also the Intuitive Business Catalyst. She is the secret sage behind global leaders across the world, and including spiritual teachers, healers, artists, celebrities, scientists, entrepreneurs. She uses her intuition, her extensive shamanic training, 18 years of business, and her experience with scientific hand analysis, and helps people unleash your life purpose and also helps you get paid for your passions. She was recently asked to be on the advisory board to the Unstoppable Foundation and is committed to bringing consciousness of life purpose to creative entrepreneurs around the world. On a personal note, I met Beth about a year ago and attended her conference that just completely blew me away, and I'm just so excited to have Beth here today as my guest. Thank you, Beth. Oh, where did you go? Hold on one second. Having a little green room issues today, so
hello. All right.
Are you there, Beth?
Yes, hi.
There you are. All right, well, I just did an introduction for you, and welcome.
Thank you.
So I know most people are probably wondering, like I'm wondering, what got you started? What led you to hand analysis?
Well, I was working in a marketing job, and I was really bored and frustrated, and a friend said, you should get your hands read, and I thought she was crazy, so I kept telling her no, and she kept bugging me, so finally, to get her off my case about it, I decided to do it, and the rest is history, really, because leading up to that, I had been so miserable, so stuck, so depressed. And I'd been praying, literally praying to the universe, please, please show me my life's purpose. And if you show me my purpose, universe, I will fulfill it. And I will go where I'm called to go, and I will do what I'm called to do, and I will be of service, you know. And then someone came through my door and read my hands and shared with me how I could best fulfill my purpose as a speaker and writer and teacher. And I decided to just follow that impulse that I got from the reading, and here I am.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really one of those amazing things you think about majoring in college.
No.
Yet.
It isn't.
Yet. Well,
is it? Well, I really think people find the things that really matter to them if they wait. Life will bring to us what's right for us if we're not always so busy trying to make it happen. And we're trained to make it happen. And for most people, that doesn't work at all. And they just end up in a profession they don't like.
Yes, I'm one of those people, was one of those people as well. I think when most people think of getting your hand read or your palm read, they think of it as kind of a divination tool of you're going to, you know, you have your lifeline, you're going to die at a certain time or find love or not find love. But you've kind of, in my perception of your work, found somewhat of a niche within hand analysis with really tying it to your life purpose. Can you tell us more about how that came about for you and more about that?
Yeah. Will you repeat that last part again? I just want to make sure I understood you.
Well, it seems as though you've kind of found a link within the hands between our life purpose and the palm, and how you came about that connection.
Yes. So the life purpose actually is identified from the fingerprints. The fingerprints form in utero between the 14th and 16th week, and they don't change. So that information is with you for your lifetime. And the shape of the hands, the lines of the hand, I mean, the actual infrastructure of the engineering of the hand is a map of your brain activity, of course, because you have a personality and ways of behaving and feeling and thinking and doing that are unique to you. And your hands are they sort of play out the brain's direction, right? And when you look at the actual palm, just even the shape, the design of someone's hands will tell me if they're a good gardener or cook, or if they prefer to not do manual type things, if they tend to be more intellectual. It's very straightforward. And I think anyone could look at a set of hands between, a surgeon and a secretary, and they're going to have different hands.
It's really unbelievable. Yeah, I was thinking about this morning in the shower of, I'm obviously a feng shui expert, and which comes out of Taoism. And Taoism philosophy believes that, you know, everything's kind of a micro universe. Our home is a micro universe. Our body is a micro universe. And if you think about it, like, our hand is our micro universe of ourself. And it really does, like, I was just thinking about how amazing our body and the creator was of having it right there in the palm of your hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing.
So you kind of touched on one of my questions of, do some of the lines change and there's some that kind of predestined?
Well, the fingerprints don't change, but anything else can change. The shape can change. The lines can change. The hands are an incredible map of your emotional style, your physical style, your thinking style, the kind of activities you like to engage in, your challenge areas. The hands are great at showing relationship challenges and opportunities, not from a predictive standpoint. I use the hands as a biometric tool, right, to help people with their career primarily. That's my focus. My whole thing is right work for right pay. That's what I'm
committed to. Yeah, I definitely want to talk more about that. I want to mention, I got one of your free gifts. It was the four-part video series a while back. And, you know, I think of myself as someone who's pretty much a self-help junkie, and I'm very self-reflective, and I've done my numerology, my astrology, like every Enneagram, anything I can think of. And I watched your four-part video series, and it talks about, I forget, it's three or four different paths that we all are on, one of those. And it quite frankly kind of blew me away. I was like, for 2 days, I was journaling over the information that I discovered about myself and recognizing that I'm on the path of service. Can you kind of tell us about those different paths? And how that ties to our palm.
Sure. The different paths are called the life schools, and they're actually determined by the fingerprints. So the fingerprint patterns reveal these four different schools, which actually tie into the four elements. So the hand analysis system I use uses four elements: earth, air, fire, water. There's not the metal or wood. I suppose wood would be more earth in feng shui. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. So we don't have the metal aspect, although I suppose we could have metal for the middle finger, which is the money finger, you know, gold and platinum and bronze coming from the earth. But the idea is there's four fingerprint patterns, and they each have an energy signature: earth, air, fire, water. And we know that the elements operate in different ways, and those same energies show up in our personalities. So depending on the number of types of prints a person has, they could be in one of these four schools, which are peace, wisdom, love, and service. Peace is the school of the earth and the body. The school of wisdom is the energy of fire and making good decisions from an instinctive place. The school of love is the is water element, and it's the energy of unconditional love, primarily for self, learning self-love. And the School of Service is about shifting consciousness through engagement, through being of service, through the energy of serving from a place of appreciation and joy. So each of these schools is an operating system or a spiritual boot camp for your soul, and it's the umbrella to everything that's in the hands. The school is the soup that you live in. Sometimes a person's in more than one school. You know, they could be in peace and wisdom or peace and love or service and love. There's a lot of people in the schools of service and love, depending on their fingerprint configuration. And from this school information, we're being asked to, through trial and error, to develop our spiritual muscles, to develop a sense of inner calm, to develop the wisdom to trust our body and make decisions from our intuition and our gut rather than our head, to open our hearts and allow ourselves to feel all of our feelings, not just the feelings we deem okay. And the School of Service is about a sense of oneness and connecting to all of life. Now, ultimately, each of us is being asked to develop in all four of these schools, but whatever school you happen to be in is the school that you're going to get the most trial and error in.
Yes, and each of them come with their own set of challenges, right?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they certainly do.
In your information, it was immediately clear which school that I fell in, and I met on. And all the challenges are challenges, so it was very clear to me. So I would really encourage anyone listening to get that free download, because I imagine you'll have the similar experience as I did. I want to shift and talk about kind of your passion project of really helping entrepreneurs getting paid for their gifts. How did this become a mission of yours?
Well, I had struggled so long to find satisfying work. I mean, I didn't struggle that long. It was only through my 20s, right? But I remember feeling so so bored, so put out, so just really troubled by the fact that I couldn't seem to translate what I love to do into meaningful work. And so discovering the hand analysis and discovering that my purpose and my plan was mapped out in my hands, my divine design, if you will, I set out to learn how to read hands and then share it with other people. And in sharing it with other people, I found that my focus tended to be on helping people find the right work for the right pay, to find pleasure and joy and service in their work. And so that has become my main focus. And what's interesting, Tisha, is that in my own hands, my life purpose is to be a spiritual teacher and business owner, which is a kind of odd combination. So I'm combining as a spiritual teacher, I'm teaching people tools about their soul, about their spirit. That's how I look at being a spiritual teacher. I don't even think of it as lofty. It really is a vocation. It is a profession where I connect with people around their soul, the person they really are beyond their persona and their conditioning and the rules they put on themselves and the pressure they feel from others. I help them strip that away so that they can gain clarity and permission to fulfill what they actually came here to do, which isn't to suffer and be bored and just work to pay bills. It's not why we're here. That era ended a couple hundred years ago, and most people haven't figured it out, that they're completely supported now energetically by the earth to flourish in their work. And so part of what I do is I help people see that they can easily flourish in their work. In fact, the world is set up now for you to flourish in your work. And if you go in that direction, even though it's scary because of the societal resistance or familial lack of support, the rewards are so great. And the hands really provide people with a map. And what makes it so compelling is that it's on your physical body, so you can't ignore it. Like once you know, oh, I'm carrying this map everywhere I go, I may as well use it. It's attached to my body. It's in literally in my hands. And, you know, it makes perfect sense to me that nature would give us a map. And people will say to me, oh, I don't believe in that stuff, but they'll put more credence in a self-assessment quiz, which, of course, people lie on, not intentionally usually, but they're in denial about their blind spots, right? So how accurate is a self-assessment quiz? Versus I look at the hands. I don't need your self-assessment quiz. You can lie to me all you want. I can see what's there. I can even see if you're a liar. Not many liars come to me, as, you know, fate would have it. They're not, the people of the world who are con men and women aren't really looking for insight. So I don't meet too many full-up liars. But I do meet a lot of manipulators. I meet a lot of people who do kind of audacious, manipulative things, but then when you ask them to actually do something that would benefit them, like make a sales call or make a presentation, they're like, oh, I couldn't do that. I'm like, really? Sure you could. You just tried to manipulate me for a discount, which I'm not going to give you, but good try. And they're like horrified that I've said this to them, right? But I'm like, look, I see you. You know, if you want your purpose, you got to stop your games. So that's the thing with the hands. Like, people don't come to me unless they're really ready to be seen and they're willing to see themselves, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we all have the good, the bad, and the ugly. No one is perfect. And most people are more, well, most people, that's a generalization. A lot of people would much rather be right than be happy.
Mm-hmm.
They spend their lives trying to be right instead of getting down to what's really, really true. So.
Yes. Well, like you said, the body doesn't lie. The hands don't lie. So I love,
no.
The hands trump the self-analysis quiz. But no, you said so many good things. I want to go back to what you were saying about kind of where we are in today's world. You know, I see several things going on. It's, you know, one is that we're changing so quick, and we're living multiple lives in one life, and therefore changing careers or coming into our true soul's life purpose more so than ever. And I'm finding in my work that you said the two words soul and business, that those two words were never in the same sentence, and now businesses are impelled now to bring soul into their work. And I'm seeing this with architects, designers, all these people who need that new depth in their work, not only for their business to thrive, but their own self-satisfaction and bringing a deeper soul component to the work. And that sounds like it's, from what you're saying, it's been in our hands all along.
Yes, it has. Yeah, it has. It's been there all along. Totally. Totally. And it's just, it's so freeing when we figure that out. It's just such a miracle. So.
Yeah, and I guess now people are willing to look in a deeper way, whether it's their astrology chart or their hands or in their house, and actually seeing and getting more self-reflection of who they are, what they really want. Because I think most people have gotten to a point where surface stuff isn't satisfying enough, whether it's
that's
a job.
Right.
Or a relationship.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
So tell me one of the your biggest achievements that you've had throughout your life that's given you a sense of wisdom.
There's a couple things. There's a couple things swirling through my mind, and I know we're on radio, and I need to think of it quick. I think one of the things that I'm really most proud of is that it's really what I teach others. I mean, honestly, when I think about what I'm most proud of is that I love my work. I love my work, and I love to work. Now, not everyone's designed to work, you know, and I'm one of the few people that actually is calm down when I work. Like when in doubt, for me, go to work. It just makes my life better and it calms me down. And it actually is a place not really of stress but of satisfaction. And I recognize that not everyone is built like me because I study people's design. So for the majority of people, they are not designed to love their work as much as I love mine. But they do need work that's fulfilling and allows them to have the lifestyle they want. And I just observe that I wake up each morning with no resistance to go to work. And I work at home. So my house sometimes will be falling down around me because I'm working so much. And then I go, okay, time to shred papers and put laundry away and clean it up. And that moves the energy, right? It definitely moves the energy. And I feng shuied my house. You know, I remember using the compass and I feng shuied the whole thing. And people walk in, they're like, oh, you feng shuied this place. I'm like, yeah, it totally works. You know, like the energy's all flowing because people walk in, they go, oh. I'm like, yeah, and I live here. And it's like, oh. So I'm a big believer in using whatever we can to succeed. But I think the thing I'm personally most proud of is I get to live the lifestyle I want, doing the work I want, and create what I want. I have a great team. I really spend my time, like, when I get off of here, I'm going to lead a webinar. Then I've got some more writing to do. Then I have another interview, and then I'm going to go to dance class. And I'm in the middle of a product launch, and my team's pretty much got it covered. And there's some things I would do differently, and it hasn't been perfect, and I don't know if we're going to reach our numbers. And, you know, I just have to keep surrendering my expectations, but that's what I'm most proud of. And that's what I want for people. Is that yes, experience yes, of yes. a total alignment. Because you total know, Tisha, here's what I feel. We're spiritual teachers. You're a spiritual teacher. I'm a spiritual teacher. Anyone that's in the business of helping people with their inner life and having that be reflected in the outer is a spiritual teacher. And as spiritual teachers, we have to behave like spiritual teachers. And one of the things this recent project I'm working on has shown me is who people really are. I mean, just today I wrote like this total bitch slap email to an affiliate of mine I'm working with, and I basically said to her, like, I won't get into all the content, it doesn't matter, but we're doing business, and she made an agreement, then she just last minute was like, oops, sorry, I'm busy, and ha ha ha, and I wrote her back, I was like, no, that's not how we behave as spiritual teachers. You are the last person I would expect to behave in this way, and you gave me your word. And how would you feel if I sent you that email? You'd be, like, really pissed off. So this is the other thing I'm learning, and I'm sharing this because it's very fresh. You know, I'm still a little wound up about it, so you're getting me in real time, like, grr. You know, my affiliate manager's like, be prepared for your interview. I'm like, okay, I will. I let go. But I'm a very passionate person. I have a lot of passion, a lot of fire. And I think what's so exciting as I more and more step into, I've got to show up the way a spiritual teacher would show up in every situation of my life, which doesn't always mean a comfortable conversation, but it really is like be on my best behavior at all times. And it's not that I can't relax, it's just what's the right thing to say? Is it kind? Is it true? Is it helpful? Will it move the energy forward? And so when I'm working with people and their handprints or their actual hands, if we're alive, I'm looking for where are they in their life and where are they getting stuck in terms of moving the energy forward. And so I think what's really been happening as I've been doing this project is I get to see, because it's really kind of crunch time when people give you their word, right? So I'm getting to see how people operate, and then it's showing me how I operate, right? It's a mirror. Where am I not in integrity? Where do I need to clean things up? And that's been one of the biggest ahas of having the business. And the other thing I wanted to share being in this project is I also am very aware of keeping my cool and really honoring my team and not freaking out, not yelling, and not stressing. And every day I just keep reminding myself, this is not brain surgery. It's not even high-stakes politics, right? It's meant to be fun. It's meant to help people. So that's the internal process I've been working on, is just to be more trusting, be more patient, and by the same token, I'm being a bit more direct in my communications with people and just calling them out, just saying, no, no, this is not how we operate. You can, but I'm not going to do it with you. And I really feel like my own hand map has given me the courage to do that, because your hand map, Tisha, also shows your blind spot. And my blind spot has been standing in my power and really setting boundaries with people. And I believe it led to the breakdown in my marriage. It contributed certainly to my breast cancer. I'm fine now, but at the time, I was so aware that I'd been over-giving and over-mothering and over-nurturing, like my boob wore out, right, from too much giving. And so now in my business, it's like, oh, that's my blind spot. From my hands, it's my life lesson to have work with boundaries. And now I'm learning what that's about. And it's kind of interesting. Like, it feels really good just to be honest with people. Like, no, that doesn't feel good. Or, no, it's really not okay with me. Or, you know, you gave me your word. And then I have to look at places in my life. Like, where have I given my word and then not followed through? And why did I get distracted? Did I not put the dates in my calendar? So it's just, I'm just in this place right at this moment. We're having this talk today of cleaning things up and really having integrity in my thought, in my feelings, in my speech, in my deeds, and to be in virtue, to be in integrity in all that I do to the best of my ability, because I'm in front of thousands of people now. And they're looking to me to be a role model and to be an example of someone who lives their purpose. And it's what I teach. So I don't have much midge room, you know, for flaking off. Let me put it that way. Yeah, so I'm deep in the personal responsibility exploration now. And really, ultimately, that's what I want people to take away from the work with me, is to take full personal responsibility for their life's purpose and full personal responsibility for their happiness, and to release any blame or judgment towards themselves or others, and really work towards their greatness. It's so soul satisfying. It's so amazing, you know?
It's the only source of true satisfaction, I think. When someone's not in alignment with their life purpose, then everything, nothing feels good.
No, nothing does.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I love what you're saying about integrity. That's actually something I've been working on as well. I, after pulling the Truth and Integrity angel card, like, repeatedly, like, over and over and over.
Oh, wow. How about that?
Yeah. I started to really look at it. And, you know, I'm not, like, a liar, or at least but I really had to look and, like, realize where I wasn't being truthful to myself, or my actions matching my word or my true feelings or what I really need
right.
to be for myself. There's a deeper layer there than me ever knew before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your project coming up, the Bology for your business. That's what's on tap for you right now. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. It's called The Biology of Business, and it explores the chakra system in the body, which is also mapped out in the hands, which I didn't find out right away. I found that out like 3 years into my hand analysis training, and I said, get out of here. You can see all the chakras in the hand. And it's like, yeah, so the lifeline, which does not measure the length of your life, I've seen living people with no lifeline. The lifeline represents the root chakra. So when someone has no lifeline, it can be difficult for them to slow down or get grounded. In fact, they might be an athlete who, or ADHD even, because they don't have an anchor. And when your lifeline's long and strong, there's an ability to anchor in the body, to exercise really hard and then take a deep rest, knowing when to work hard and when to rest. And the shorter the lifeline, even to the point where it's not there, the individual has a harder time monitoring their energy output, right? So they can go and go and go, and then they burn out. Right? They go and go and go, and then they have an accident. And that's why in old palmistry, they used it to measure life, because the fact is, if someone is burning themselves out all the time, it's not good for their health. So it's more an indicator of, you have to be more attentive to your health and not push it like someone with a strong lifeline could. And even people with strong lifelines, they can burn themselves out because they have so much energy. They have to watch it too. So really, every human being has to learn about doing nothing. And that's very hard in our culture. Like, people don't know how to rest. Even if they're resting, they're watching TV or they're at an amusement park or they're at a sports game. That's not rest. Sorry, it's not rest. Laying on the beach, maybe. Taking a swim, maybe. Meditating, yes. Doing nothing. Laying in your bed, just staring at the ceiling, just breathing. That kind of nothing. Taking a walk without headphones. You know, just today, I was driving for my coffee and I hear this thump and I look across the street and I pull over and this girl on a bicycle has been hit by a car. Both of them were going so slow, like she tipped over slowly. No major injury. She was startled. She was mad. She was yelling at the driver. The driver's just standing there. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. And the woman had no helmet on, headphones in, completely oblivious. And I thought, oh, short lifeline. That's why it gets its reputation. Because really only an idiot would ride a bicycle without a helmet. I tell everyone this. Like, you can get brain damage going 15 miles an hour. And I used to work with special needs kids. This is why I rant about this, right? I worked with a special needs kid. He was 20, and he'd been riding his bike without a helmet, and he got hit, and he smacked his head on the curb, and he was a vegetable after that. But I looked over there, and I thought to myself, oh, short lifeline. You know, like, headphones in, no helmet. She's yelling at the driver. She was the one who was oblivious. It wasn't even the driver's fault. And that's what happens with short lifeline, is you don't pay attention. Now, had that car been going faster, she might have been thrown into the bus that passed by, you know what I mean? And that's the end. So that's how these lines get their special meaning, is if you have a short lifeline, you are more prone to not knowing when to chill out. So this is what I tell people who have short lifelines, like, you better learn how to chill. You got to learn how to do nothing so you don't keep banging your shins, or worse, right? anyway, I'm totally digressing, but that's the root chakra. So in the biology of business, the lifeline energy, for example, is module one. And what we do is we look at your family, at your roots, because it's the root chakra, right? We look at your family issues from womb to through childhood, childhood diseases, body issues, injuries. We look at all of this from the standpoint of your body being a messenger. Because the way, just at the level of the root chakra, the way you show up in your family of origin shows up in your business if you don't clean it up. And some people had great childhoods, so they're very good at bonding, they're good at intimate relationships, they're good at getting help, they're good at having a team support them because they grew up with people being kind and supportive and helpful. But a lot of people had very dysfunctional childhoods, right? Absent parents or abusive parents or whatever. And if you don't clean that up, you start repeating it with the people in your business. So that's where the program starts, is root chakra, which is the base of your spine down to your feet. And that energy shows up in your lifeline in your hands. So, for example, my ex-husband had a short lifeline. And he had all sorts of broken bones in his legs and feet. And, you know, I was like, yeah, because he just goes too fast. He, like, literally would always be going too fast. And I'm like, dude, you got to slow down. And he loved high-intensity sports like mountain biking and double black diamond skiing and all sorts of crazy stuff that you got to know what you're doing. And, you know, he's lucky he only broke some bones, but it was usually his lower body. And I went, oh, short lifeline, right? So actually the injury, the location of an injury or disease or pain in your body is giving you a message about that part of your body. And it's often linked to another part of your body. So what I've done with the biology of business is you use your body as the map to build your business, and each chakra is like a stepping stone. So chakra one is your people, and then chakra two is stepping outside the tribe to your clients and customers and creative partners and lovers and all that. And then chakra three is your solar plexus, so that's you getting an identity separate from all the other people. All right, so first we're in a family, then we make friends, and then we go, whoa, wait a minute, what about me? And then by the time we get to the heart, hopefully we're able to say, hey, do I love my life? Am I living my passions? And at the point of the throat, this is the most pivotal part for success in life, because that's when our message goes out, at the throat chakra. So in this program, when we get to the throat chakra, I'm teaching people how to do a talk from the stage, how to do a sales call, how to arrange their marketing, right? Because you can't be successful in business without marketing. It's impossible. I don't even know why people try. It's like, no, you don't understand. Your voice is what will make your business fail or succeed. The voice. There's a TV show called The Voice. Through the voice we manifest, which is why we're so entranced by singers and orators, right? Like Obama, a big part of his success, regardless of what people think about his politics, is his ability to communicate, his throat, right? Donald Trump, he's mesmerizing. His energy when he speaks is mesmerizing. I mean, I've watched him, and I'd never understand what he's saying, but it's mesmerizing. I'm completely baffled by what he's saying. So, like, Obama, I understand what he's saying. I don't always agree, but I understand it, and it's mesmerizing. And Donald Trump, just the sound of his voice has a hypnotic effect on people, has an absolutely hypnotic effect. So I love seeing how the voice affects. And that's why Donald Trump can get away with saying things that other people just can't. You know, I mean, there was a public debate years ago, and one politician, like, oh, Al Gore looked at his watch, and he never heard the, or some, he sighed, he had a deep, he went, oh, right? And he just got loads of bad press. And meantime, Donald Trump could just say whatever and change his mind the next day, and nobody even notices, and it's because of the voice. So by developing our voice, developing our speaking voice, developing our phrasing, it's quite powerful. And obviously, some people use it to hypnotic or manipulative effect, and I'm not encouraging that. However, when your message is aligned with your soul, it moves people on a soul level. And so that's always my goal in my communication. Even with you today, like, I share about my life because I want people to know I actually live an ordinary life. And I share about not always happy things because a lot of crappy stuff happens to people, and we need to not whitewash that, right? Like, why is that stuff happening? Why did the girl get hit on the bike today? Well, she's oblivious, and she's probably oblivious in the rest of her life too, and she was blaming the driver. I'm like, well, that's not a good approach to living. So the voice is where the rubber meets the road. And then we move to the third eye. Now, this is what's so interesting about the third eye, is that in your hands, it's the middle zones of all the digits represent the third eye. And the third eye is the mind, right? So the mind is how we actually structure our material experience. So the mind is great for strategy. The mind is great for setting material goals, financial goals. The mind is great for something like feng shui, because feng shui is a lifestyle mental approach, right? And then we have negotiation, which is using the mind and the voice to get what we want, and ideally create a win-win with the other party. So that's the third eye. Nowhere in there is the energy of making decisions. And this is, I was pretty late to the party on this. Maybe you already figured this out. But I really thought my mind was the one who was the driver. And what we're seeing in the world is we've let the mind be the driver, and it's basically turning everything into a parking lot or a mini mall, right? We're killing everything because the mind doesn't know how to stop, right? The mind is like, oh, we can build another golf course here and another skyscraper here, and let's put in another shopping mall, and let's do fracking and suck every last bit of oil out of the like how much can we accumulate? It's like, you guys, this is a limited sphere, you know, like there's actually dimensions to Mother Earth. Like, take it easy. But that's the mind. Right? The mind is completely expansive. And it needs to be monitored by all the chakras below it, right? So we live in a time that's very cut off from the heart because we've used the voice to manipulate the people's minds, mind control. So a big part of what this program helps people do personally is to release their conditioning through working the chakras personally and professionally. So in the course, I show people where the information is in the hands. I show them how to read what their hands say, because everyone's hands are different, so you're going to get a different read on a chakra. So if we go back to the sixth chakra, let's say that you have horizontal lines through the middle zone of your index finger. That one area of the hand represents material goals, the yacht zone, Rolex watch, Maserati. I mean, that zone gets so much attention in our culture, and it's like a teeny tiny part of the hand. It's kind of hilarious. The biggest part of our hand, interestingly enough, is the realm of the lower chakras, the first, second, and third chakra, the body, intuition, and our solar plexus, our inner organs. So actually the biggest part of the body is the lower realm. That's what actually creates the most health, is to be solid in those lower realms. But anyway, so let's say you have horizontals through the middle zone there. What that's telling me is there's some kind of no energy to your material goals. Well, I can't have if others don't have, right? There's like a obstruction. So I would know that from looking at someone's index finger that there's some ambivalence about what that person really wants, because maybe they've been told, you shouldn't have that. Like, I'm extremely ambitious, and a lot of times people will say to me, oh, don't be just focused on that. And I'm like, no, I want to be focused on my goals. They're important to me. I like my ambition, thank you. It's a good part. My competitive spirit is mostly, I'm competing with myself, but it's a good part of me. So that's just the sixth chakra, each of those middle zones of the fingers. So when people go through the course, we look at the middle zones of your fingers to see how your mind is structuring or not structuring your external world. And this is an area people either get or their life's a disaster, right, because they haven't managed their money. They haven't feng shuied their house, and God knows they need to. They still got a car full of crap. You know, I tell all my friends, I'm like, empty out your trunk. You're blocking your money flow. And they just look at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, seriously, what is this junk in here? Throw this crap away. You know, my friend has this garage full of stuff. It's like at least $10,000 worth of stuff in this garage. I said, you know, if you sold everything in this garage, you'd make like $10,000. I know, blah, 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 blah. I said, well, you're feeling money blockages, but you're hoarding. Do you not see the connection? She's like, oh, right. Now I do. Right? I said, you're hoarding, and then you can't let anything come to you because you have to hoard, hang on to what you got. So anyways, so that's the program. And the idea is that with the biology of business, people can design their ideal business and personal life in 90 days or less. Now, I'm not saying they'll achieve it in 90 days or less, because that would be an absurd promise. It would be a silly promise. But in 90 days or less, you can design it and then start living your way into it. So we've created a video training series, and we've had almost 7,000 people now watch these videos, which makes me really happy. And we haven't even released them on YouTube. So and people are finding them on YouTube now too, which is pretty hilarious, because we haven't ever marketed those videos. But these videos are specifically to people who are stuck intuitive, who want to get unstuck and have a prosperous experience, and then I share about the biology of business. So I want to encourage people to check that out, and I think you've got a link. In fact, I might give you an updated link, Tisha, because we've got a link now that goes straight to the video, so I can send that over to you if you want it. But
yeah,
that's what's happening, and thank you for asking, and I hope it makes sense. Did it make sense to you what I was describing?
Yeah, I'm like getting so excited. Anytime you put chakras with anything, I get really excited. I'm a chakra junkie. Anytime you can put energy categories, I love it. So yeah, I have one link already in the copy for this podcast, but I'll add the new one as well for folks to get on board with that and check out your videos. You also do personal readings, and you also teach people to become hand analysts as well. How can people get in touch with you?
They can go to yourpurpose.com, and there's a video training there, or I would recommend click on the link, because the video series that you're sharing, that link I'm going to get you, is only up for another week, and then it goes away. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I have
so the
link
the best
to
way.
Your free guest in the video series that I mentioned that I love so much on here as well for folks to watch. Thank you so much, Beth, for being here today. Every time I'm in your presence, my mind just gets blown, and it just encourages me. You know, you have the perfect combination of intuition and business, and just so appreciated.
Oh, you're so welcome.
So I always end my podcast with the question of what is home to you?
Oh, what is home to me? You know, my home is actually my home to me.
Oh, good.
I'm such a hermit. I love coming home. Like, I love my place. You know, I come in and I'm so home to me is where I am. Home is always where I am. So if I'm home in my home, I'm home, and I can do with the space what I will. But if I'm traveling, I make it home, right? So I'll light a candle in my hotel room. I try to get hotel rooms where my head's facing the right direction in the bed, you know, and really giving thanks to whatever space I'm in, whether it's a friend's guest room or a hotel room or, you know, a tent at the campsite, just to really give thanks to whatever physical space I'm in. And whenever I leave a place, I give thanks. I thank the room for holding me.
Nice.
And I've done that for many years now. And, yeah, it feels really good. Just thank you, house. Thank you, hotel room. Thank you, people who take care of it. Thank you for taking care of me. So, yeah.
Very nice. Well, I know you have a call coming up at 1 for your Evology business program, so I won't keep you. But again, just thank you so much. And again, listeners can link to the link in the podcast for more information and to get her free gifts. So thank you so much, Beth, and I will see you down the road.
Thank you, Tisha. This was great.
All right. Take care. Thank you, everyone, for joining me in today's podcast. Coming up in August, I'll be having Karen Roush Carter, the best-selling feng shui author, as my guest. Looking forward to that. And thank you, everyone, and feng shui blessings.